Among the dozens of Somali Bantus who arrived in Springfield, Massachusetts in 2004 and 2005 was a family of six. More than a decade earlier, the mother and father had walked from their agricultural homeland in Somalia to Kenya to escape persecution from violent militias. In their new city, the mother often held her youngest child in her arms, and holding tightly to her mother's skirt was the second youngest, 7-year-old Rumbila.
Okay, hello, my name is Rumbila Abdullahi.
Rumbila is now 23. She still lives in Springfield, and when I first started interviewing her this past spring, she was finishing up her senior year at Smith College.
Yeah, I am a chemistry major, pre-med, and hoping to go to medical school after.
Her ambition? To become a doctor serving the Somali Bantu community. I'm Ben James, and in March I handed Rumbila an audio recorder and asked her to capture some of her very full life for this documentary project from New England Public Media. She was completing her coursework, studying for the medical school admission test, working part-time as a patient care technician at Bay State Medical Center, and...
I'm expecting a baby due on May 20th, and also I will be graduating from Smith College on May 30th.
10 days gap.
Yeah, 10 days apart.
That man in the background is Ibrahim Abdi, Rumbila's husband. And here's Rumbila to tell her own story.
Hello, everyone. It's Saturday, and Saturdays means mostly errand days for me. So right now I'm going to go pick up my mom. She wants to go over to the post office. I always felt like my school life and like family, community life were like separated because like they each had their own demands of me. When I'm at home, I'll try to finish like any school related work as soon as possible. So just in case something comes up, because something always comes up. Mostly it'll be like my mom, she like has congestive heart failure and like diabetes. Mom coming?
Yeah. She wants to go to the laundromat later.
This is my sister, my little sister Halima. And this is my mom. My mom been through so much, going from Somali to all the way to Kenya's refugee camp to escape violence that was happening back in Somalia. That's where I was born. So when we left Kenya's refugee camp, before finding out that we were leaving, I did not know that the place we were at was temporary. To me, it was just like, this is it. This is my life, you know, living my life as a kid. And the next day, we were in a vehicle. And that was my first time going in a vehicle. And I didn't realize I was moving fast when I was in the car. I remember being very amazed how fast the elephants were running when they weren't even moving, but I was moving. Okay, we made it. We think they might have put it in the mailbox, but the thing is, she lives in a new place and they haven't given her the key to the mailbox. But I have a picture of it, I think so, yeah.
You're all set, okay?
All right, thank you. When we first came to the U.S., it was snowing. Oh boy, was that terrifying. White stuff falling from the sky, freezing, and on top of that, I was surrounded by people that were not my color. And so I just remember being really scared and just holding on to my mom's dress, refusing to move anywhere, just like holding on really tight and refusing anyone who tries to take me away from my mom. When I think about my mom's experience and just all the Somali Bantu's experience in general, I guess that's what drives me to want to, you know, help them in any way possible. I want to show people, like, it's possible, you know? You can do these things, especially as a married woman, because a lot of the married Somali Bantu women, just like as soon as they get married, they give up on their dreams. Now I'm back home after dropping off my mom and my little sister. And I'm about to start studying for the MCAT. Hopefully I could get a couple of solid hours in. And then I'll start doing my homework for my classes.
Oh, okay. Prolonged ketoacidosis. Okay, so blood pH is low and the goal will be to increase it.
August, no. Go away. This is August. Our cat, we got him in August 2017. Right after my husband and I got married, because I really wanted a cat and my mom didn't approve of having pets when I lived under her roof. So as soon as I got married and moved out, I was like, I want a cat.
No, go away. Augie, look what you did.
I'm the type of learner where it's like, it will take me some time to learn something, but eventually I will learn it and master it. But the standardized test doesn't kind of give you, it doesn't give you that wiggle room. The standardized test kind of gears towards people who have like money to get a tutor or something. Like I can't afford a tutor. I have one more month to take my MCAT exam and I'm freaking out. I'm so freaking out, but I'm just going to keep chugging along.
She's gonna do well and she's gonna be a great doctor.
My husband, Ibrahim. He's very funny, corny. I am so thankful to God for having Ibrahim in my life.
We both know the condition where we came from, like, you know, we both know where we grew up, and we both know that coming to the U.S. was for a better opportunity.
So our families knew each other for a long time. My older brother remembers playing with him a lot, and everybody remembers him because he had this nickname, Ibrahim Oyo. So
the Oyo means that I cry a lot. Like when I was young, I just cry.
He's a nice boy compared to like growing up, all the other boys that I grew up with and the paths that they ended up taking.
I met her through my sister. One day she just came to our house when I lived with my mom. I'm telling you, the first time I looked at her, I'm like, yep, I like this girl.
In the beginning, I was really annoyed because there was this boy just disturbing my like routine and my what I want to do, which is just stay in the library and read.
Because she goes to the library, now I have to go to the library because that's where she's at.
And he does not like reading at all. He hates reading. Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, I guess what got me interested is his consistency of only being interested in me. And he was always like religiously following the religious path. And I like that about him.
The first time I heard the heartbeat, I was just so excited, you know, because we're gonna be parents now.
I had to go to the appointment by myself because of the COVID. So I went and they were like, we're gonna try to get a heartbeat because I was only 7 weeks at that time.
Sounds great. Heart rate's in the 140s, which is just lovely.
Actually, when she sent me the heartbeat, I was at the store, right? I really dropped what I was doing. So I had a couple of stuff in my hand. I dropped it. I'm like,
yes. And a very emotional person. Like
I'm emotional person.
He got very emotional. I'm like, really? This is just the beginning.
The beginning of something beautiful, yeah. You know?
Come Last year, my mom was admitted to the hospital. Her symptoms were acting up for congestive heart failure. And the cardiologist was like, she needs to get a pacemaker. Without it, she's probably not going to last a year. And trying to explain that to my mom was very hard. She was like, no, they're trying to take my organs. I was like, Mom, no, that's not what it is. So I showed her a video of how the procedure is done, and I would be there with her. So they were just prepping her to put the anesthesia and stuff, and she was very, very nervous and scared. And they're like, okay, we need you in here. And I was like, okay, good. There'll be a moment of silence when I don't talk, and she's like, you there? And I'm like, yes, I'm here. And she's like, Mijukta. I was like, yep, right behind you.
Rumbila remembers the moment when it first occurred to her she could actually become a doctor. It was the summer after her junior year of high school. Her plan at the time was to train as a physician's assistant. She was doing an internship at Tufts Medical School, and she was surrounded by students of color, many of them immigrants, with the ambition to become the first doctors in their families.
I was like, if they can believe in themselves to do this, I was like, why can't I? So I was like, you know what? I want to be an actual physician, and I'm going to go all the way, not halfway to a physician assistant, but like all the way a physician.
She had a new ambition, but she had little idea what to expect when she stepped into her first college classes.
Going from high school in Springfield to Smith College in Northampton was completely different. Like, for example, I noticed the classes right away. All the students at Smith College were like dedicated, and they were not misbehaving. Like, it was just so quiet.
The professor came in and the students were all ears, respectful, asking questions.
I was just like, wow, okay. I was like, maybe it's probably just because it's the beginning. But no, it was like that the whole time.
Rumbila says she loved being a student at Smith. She ran track, made friends, got good grades.
So like, I was going to Smith on a scholarship. I would have never been able to afford all that money for Smith.
The scholarship allowed Rumbila to pursue her academic interests with greater determination than she'd ever been able to before. But some of her experiences at the elite college, she says, had a different sort of cost.
Smith is predominantly white, so like sometimes I'll be the only Black student in my class. And that was kind of different because my Springfield High School was very diverse, and I was used to not being the only one that was Black, or even the only one that was Muslim.
In a sophomore year sociology class, Rumbila says she found herself disagreeing with comments from her white peers. But as a lone Black voice, she felt too vulnerable, and she held her tongue.
Let me just not stir up anything.
But Rumbila says that on the whole, her race did not have a major impact on her time at the college. And that's for an interesting reason.
I mean, I've heard negative things have happened to like Black students in Smith. Obviously, like, it's all over the media, but maybe like I didn't experience as much like those negativities, probably because I'm barely there, to be honest, because a lot of the things that happen is because like the students are there all day, all night, like they live there, and I don't live there, so I could escape anytime I wanted.
She escaped to the home she and Ibrahim purchased last year, and to her community of Somali Bantu elders and friends. It was a constant juggling act, moving between the distinct worlds of school, home, work at the hospital. Like here, it's April, Ramadan. Rumbila's studying for the MCAT and finishing her classes, while a good friend of hers is getting ready to marry Ibrahim's brother.
My name is Fardosa, and welcome to Rumbila's Life Audio.
Hi, my name is Sakori. Welcome to Rumbila's Life Recording.
All right, so those are Fardosa and Muslima. We're about to go meet Winnie and the other girls so we could carpool to Connecticut to get measured. So, yeah, that's what's going on tonight. So this wedding, Winnie is Kenyan, and my brother-in-law is Somali Bantu.
They need to understand. It's an incredible thing. They need to understand if the guy is Muslim,
And it's okay. It should be okay.
Yeah, like, they're just so, like, obsessed with trying to make everyone marry with the Bantu culture, you know? But that's not how it works. We're already surrounded with so many different cultures.
I never really thought about it, like, who I was going to marry or, like, what culture it would be. But I knew if I fell in love with someone outside the culture, it was going to be all hell loose with my parents. Oh, my gosh. I knew it was going to be a war.
All right, we have finally arrived to the woman's house that is going to be sewing our dresses.
Yeah. Like, if it's on her.
Yeah. Oh, but that's so good.
Is that how all of them?
It's an African print dress. Most of the girls have the same style, but none of them can move well in their dress. It's pretty tight.
Oh, my God. Can you breathe?
No. I'm the only one who could move in my dress because it was custom made to fit my pregnant belly.
Oh, no.
In the beginning, actually, in the beginning of our marriage, it was very hard. We wanted to do things non-traditional way, and people expected us to do things traditional way.
We got married in August, so by October, my dad was expecting a child. I try to tell him, I'm like, Dad, no, like, she's in school, and, like, we decided that she wants to focus on school.
I personally do not like to follow the tradition. I feel like it's overwhelming.
What I experienced growing up was back home, that my mom will do the cooking and she will do the chores and my dad would work.
I found myself also playing a double role sometimes because it's like when we're home, we do like we run things non-traditional way. But then when we go to a place, I would have to switch myself into the traditional wife because there's people there that are expecting me to like go get food, bring it to my husband.
I am much better now than I was when I was living with my mom.
Oh my gosh.
I wasn't even cooking.
He was a terrible cook when we first got married. Oh my gosh. I had to teach him from the basics. I'm not gonna lie,
I was terrible cooking. So I agree with her that, but I'm getting better now.
Now, I'm gonna go take my mom to where she needs to go. And then I have to go grocery shopping. And I have to go over my full-length exam that I took yesterday for MCAT practice. And then I have a little dance practice with a small group for my brother-in-law's wedding.
Alala, alala, alala!
Where's the mothers when they can be like, alala, alala!
We're just amateurs. We've always been drilled by our parents, like, if we did anything wrong in school, they would sit us all down and give us a chat. They're like, you know what I've been through? Yeah, so you better be doing good in school. Being drilled with that as a young girl and growing up and going to Smith, I carried that with me, you know? When I first told my mom I want to be a doctor, she was like, don't be a surgeon. She was like, I don't want you cutting people open. Don't be a surgeon. I remember that. I was like, what? Okay. Good thing I wasn't really like, I want to be a surgeon. That would have been a big fight. Totally going to be different experiences. I mean, my mom, she gave birth at home. And I'm going to have a hospital. Healthcare professionals around me. And also, I'm going to be raising a child in the American society. That's one thing I remember talking to my husband about. I'm like, I'm really nervous. Like, we're going to be raising this child in America. Like, oh my God.
We're a hot mess.
We're partners, okay?
Okay, so today's Wednesday, April 28th, and I am taking my MCAT exam on Friday, April 30th, so just a couple more days left. Freaking out. I took a practice MCAT exam on Monday, my last one before the real one. I wasn't really pleased with my score, but I decided to just shove that behind me and act like it never happened.
That Friday, Rumbila walked into a testing center in Springfield.
I was just freaking out. I was just checking my bag, making sure I packed everything. I packed extra masks. My husband was like, "Do you really need all of those?" I was like, just in case, you know?
She'd taken numerous practice tests by this point, but parts of this MCAT felt unfamiliar to her. She calmed herself and worked her way through the material.
Wow. Can't believe I did it. I sat for 7 hours while pregnant, taking an exam. Ugh. Don't even want to think about it.
After the test, she packed away her practice materials and deleted her study podcasts. And a couple weeks later, Ibrahim drove her to the maternity ward at Bay State Medical Center.
That was the most craziest experience of my life. Like labor and just delivering a baby, you know, first time for me. Yeah, I had Nabil, my baby, at Bay State Medical Center, where I work. Everybody I work with was there. So it was just very funny. I was a patient and my the nurses would just make a joke. They're like, "Oh, now you see why all those women were yelling." My mom was really strict about not using epidural. Yeah, that's one thing we agreed on. No epidural. And she was blowing up on my mother-in-law's phone, my husband's phone, to make sure I did not take epidural. I was holding my husband's hand, but what I didn't realize is my nails were long and I was digging into his hands. Oh my God. He told me later on he was trying to escape from my grip, but I wouldn't let him. I'm like, "Give me your hand." Oh my God. Poor dude. When Nabil first came out, I was shocked. I was like, "What? He was that long?" And I'm like, "How was he squished in there?" So we're in the hospital and Nabil is getting his first bath and he is not liking it. All right, so today is the morning of my graduation. I am on my way right now. This morning was a bit hectic, trying to get ready and also try to get enough sleep since the baby kept waking me up throughout the night. So I had to quickly feed him and then get ready. So here I am, driving to my graduation alone. My husband is going to stay with our baby boy.
Hello. Hello. This is Ibrahim. Husband of Rumbila. Also, our cat August is here. August, say hi. Okay, yeah, that's August. He's awake. You will hear some noises in the background, and that's the sound of Nabil. Okay, Nabil, I'm gonna put you in a baby crib, okay? All right. Mommy's about to graduate soon. We wish we were there, but because of COVID, is why we're home. But everything will all work out.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, seniors.
Nabil, Mommy's about to graduate.
Madam President, I have the honor to present these candidates for the degree of Bachelor
Maya
of Arts
Jean
and to
Alfred.
Certify on behalf of the faculty.
Cassandra Jean Arneman. Hampshire House.
Woo!
Rumbila Abdullahi.
Woo! You did it! You did it! Nabil, mommy graduated. Are you gonna wake up? 4 years of hard work. Once again, congrats to 2021, especially my wife. And then, honey, come home.
Hey, so it's June 1st. My MCAT score came in, and I have not looked at it yet. Pretty nervous, but I also have a gut feeling that I didn't do as well as I wanted to do. So it's like already late into the afternoon and I still haven't looked at the score. But might as well look at it now. Let's see. All right. No, Bill's sleeping through all of this.
Yep.
I don't want to look at it.
You want me to look at it first and then tell you?
I think I'll just go hardcore and look.
Okay, review scores.
View score, okay. Oh. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Are you okay, Nabil? Alright. I'm not really thrilled about the score, but I'm not surprised either. Okay. You okay?
So, thank you very much, everyone, for taking the time to listen to my crazy life, or part of my crazy life. Before the month of April came around, like, I knew all the things that were coming up, but I did not realize how exhausting it was gonna be until everything was literally back to back, back to back. The only thing that didn't work out was my MCAT score, but that's okay because now I have a plan. I will not be giving up. I'm very determined to crush that MCAT now with every, like, no school in the way, nothing else to think about besides the MCAT and obviously Nabil, but we'll figure it out. My sister, she's like, wow, Nabil just took the MCAT, he just graduated, I can't get to his level. And then that made me think, I was like, that is so true. Nabil literally just took the MCAT and he wasn't even born. He was listening all those classes and I'm like, wow, Nabil, I wasn't even like that when I was in the womb. Yeah.
Rumbila's story was produced by me, Ben James, and edited by Sam Hudzik, with help from Karen Brown. This is New England Public Media.